Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hey there, welcome to the Linda McKenzie Show, and this week, let's remember, meditation helps you to be clear in your searching, sensing, and speaking. And our guest today is Jeff Golden. He's author of Reclaiming the Sacred. I'll be giving you lots of fun and useful information, as well as answering your natural health, your mind, and spirit questions later on in the show. But right now, let's get to our guest. We have with us Jeff Golden. He's author of Reclaiming the Sacred, and Jeff is an author, a writer, prison reform and animal rights activist who has headed several nonprofits and is currently teaching at Vassar. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here.
Well, I love your book. It has so many little things in it. And you know what I like about it is that I can turn to almost any page and get something for the day. You know, it doesn't mean you have to sit there and work and, you know, read the whole thing all the way through all the time, but you can, even once you have read it through, you can actually pick it up and it will give you some kind of a wonderful excerpt on what life can be and should be.
I love it that that's been your experience. I have to say that I think probably half of all people who read this book, either, you know, buy it or get it at the library, that's what they do with it. They just open either randomly to a page or they just look at the different chapter names because the chapters are all pretty short and easy to read. And they just take in whatever that message is for them right then in that moment. So I'm glad that was your experience. It's an exciting way for me to hear about people reading the book and accessing the different ideas.
Yeah, and it's really great, great book. So tell me a little bit, what is the science of happiness and what can it tell us?
Yeah. Well, unique to talking with you today, I want to start by just emphasizing that what the research reveals is really, it's uplifting and it's positive. And I say that because it's sort of the positivity of you and your show. I'm glad to say that the research is entirely aligned with you. What it shows is that happiness, as well as some other things like, I'm going to say, love and a sense of belonging and connection, a lot of those things that are really essential to our well-being, what the research bears out is that those are generally fairly natural to us. They're our natural way of being. And so to the degree that we are not experiencing those, of course there are ups and downs and things happen in life. And it's part of our job to be available to feel sadness and be in disruption as well. It's not just to always be happy, but that generally speaking, it's not that we need to go out and change ourselves or change the world so much or find something new as it is to uncover those things within ourselves or to remove the barriers that have gone up to those things. So I'm happy to take a step back and paint a broader picture, dive into some of the research and what it reveals because it's very interesting and exciting. But I did want to emphasize that initial point about the journey. I think it's very encouraging for each of us to know that no matter where we're at or what we're feeling, we are sort of inherently of what we're striving for. That is the joy, the belonging, the sense of purpose.
Right, and we do have different kinds of tools that we can use for that, which is there's a lot in your book that we can uncover. And a lot of times, you know, life is a journey, and the one thing that people have to understand is that, you know, the only thing that is really constant is change, right? And that's the only thing that's really going to come again. So what goes up must come down, and it goes in a spiral all the way up to the sky, I guess. And what happens is when you learn something and you understand it, then you never have to go through that lesson again. And so it's a matter of just learning and growing. And so you, there's always a flourishing time, a time when you're feeling something's going to happen, then that's the gathering time of gathering information, and then you take an action and it goes back up to a flourishing time. So it's, and that's what always happens. So we want to make sure that, you know, we understand that when we learn these lessons, then we just emerge and we can get happier and happier. But even there is no one state where you're going to be happy all the time unless it's inside you. You know, because your outside world is going to completely change all the time, and it's how you react to that change and how, what tools you know as you grow so that you can, you know, move into the more positive emotions. And that's what your book actually tells us. It tells you how exactly to do it. And look, you're not, your belief system here may be a little off. Why don't you take a look at it this way? And you're very gentle doing that, by the way. I'm kind of like a New York mafia guy and say, hey, just do it. do it.
You know what I find is that I think there are people who are just at a time and place in their lives where some of these messages, they're just ripe and ready for change, and maybe that change is going to be dramatic and significant, you know, quick. But for many people, it's going to be more step by step. And in fact, I love what you said about how once you learn something, you don't have to relearn it. At the same time, though, I don't want people to get discouraged if they find themselves maybe not just making all of the changes that they want to so immediately, right? Or noticing that everything is just overnight different. An analogy that I used, that really this came up for me in my own journey, at one point I was talking with a wonderful therapist I worked with for many years, and I said, you know what it feels like? It feels like me and my life are this huge ship cutting through the water at night. You know, it's dark underneath the stars. And every time I have a beautiful experience about myself or the world, one of those insights or those learnings you mentioned, it's like this beautiful little glowing fish that comes up and just kisses the front of that ship. The experience itself is beautiful and powerful, and sometimes the effect, I can actually be conscious of it and feel it for quite a while. But at the same time, it takes a lot of fish kisses, beautiful glowing fish kisses, to actually change the course of a ship, right? We do have a lot of momentum, a lot of things that we have deeply internalized about our belief systems, the way we feel about ourselves and about the world. And so to not be discouraged if we don't find ourselves suddenly doing a 90-degree change. Again, some people will, but for the rest of us, those fish kisses, it's going to take a lot of those to really change the course of that ship, but it doesn't take much of a shift, just 1 degree difference of the direction that you're heading in your life over the course of your life takes you to an entirely different place. So it is about being patient, move as fast as you feel ready for, and if a New York mafia style push and approach helps get you there, then awesome. If me holding your hand and being a little bit gentle day after day is what you want, then great. Let's constantly just be welcoming those little fish kisses and those little shifts that do add up over time.
Right. And the other thing, too, is to make sure that when you are, you take time to enjoy the win, even if it's a 1% win, right? You have to understand and take the joy in that, because you're one step ahead. And, you know, and we just do things one step at a time, one step at a time. The thing is don't get stuck. You know that what comes up must go down and must go up again. So if you're down into a downtime, you're just getting ready for a flourishing time. And so you can help that change by, you know, gathering information and staying positive, because you know, one of the things that I found in my life, and, you know, I'm 75 and I've been, you know, I'm like the serial entrepreneur and, you know, been psychic since I'm 8 and doing all this stuff. And, but one of the things I found is that you know, it's not Pollyanna to be positive, because what happens even on a body level when you, I mean, if you're getting, I can give somebody a little hint. If you're getting very sad or distracted, or you feel very closed in, what you can do is hum, you know, or you just hum. And what happens is that takes the energy and puts it into your heart. And then that can automatically uplift you. You don't think it can, but it can, because it's the anatomy of sound that's vibrating through the body. And so when you stay in the positive, you help heal yourself on a body level. They found now many studies that, you know, if you're positive, then you heal faster and better. And so when you have a choice, and you have that choice in every moment, always choose a positive instead of no, won't, shouldn't, couldn't, can't. Yes, right. Can, will, right. You know, that kind of stuff. And that's a big thing that can move us into my next question, was how can you chart a path to a joyful life?
Yeah. Well, so much I could say about that, and so much that just got stimulated by what you were saying. I agree completely. I think just in the context of how I presented it initially, that one of the key things here is not so much to seek for joy or love, for example, or belonging, as to seek and find the barriers within you that have sort of gone up around those. I would highlight that the research shows that there are three things that in this society at this time really are getting in the way for a lot of us. And one of those has to do with money and consumption. And another very related to that is just the pace of our lives, the busyness and distraction. And the third is our relationship with ourselves. We live in a culture that is in many ways positive and idealistic, but is also extremely negative and harsh in terms of so often our sense of ourselves, how we feel about ourselves and our place in the world. And so maybe we'll have a little bit of time to touch on each of those, but why don't I start with, just to give some context about the money piece, I start my book this way, and it's where the research really sort of points us, is that since at least the 1940s, the average level of happiness in the United States has actually been in a consistent decline, not a huge decline. This is a small amount that it's declined. But when you consider the radical transformations that have taken place in our societies and in most of our lives in terms of money and stuff since the 1940s, it's a remarkable statistic. I mean, we sort of per capita income, as well as just the amount of things that we have, the size of our homes, cars, televisions, gadgets. In the 1940s, a third of homes didn't have indoor plumbing, and most people hadn't heard of a television yet. And yet, those people were happier than we are today. Most people would presume that the massive financial and material gains that we've seen in this country since that time would have resulted in some kind of similar, either massive gains in happiness or at least something meaningful. But for there to actually be a backslide, I think it's a fact that can really help focus us and can be just sort of an intriguing place to start by looking at the fact that money overall and possessions only account for between 2 to 4% of our happiness. And most of that, it does its work at the very beginning. If we do not have enough to meet our basic needs, then more money does buy a lot more happiness in the form of food and shelter and clothing and such. But pretty consistently, once we can meet our basic needs at even a simple level, money no longer has much of an impact at all. And these other factors, I just take over. And to be honest, actually, even if you cannot meet your basic needs, some of these factors are still more important. And many people, perhaps a lot of people listening, have had this experience of times where they've experienced some deprivation, maybe hunger, homelessness, and those have an impact. But we can probably also note and reflect, this is most people's experience, that nonetheless, other things still often matter more, like relationships, connection with other people, friends, family. Again, so much more I could say about that, but why don't I just leave it at that for now, just in terms of that, a sort of a summary of the money piece and the limitations. And the danger here, of course, is that once we can meet our basic needs and money has really bought us all the happiness it's going to, in this society, many of us in our society, just in general, still prioritizes money, production, consumption. I mean, at huge costs to us, to the environment, to other people, we still prioritize that. And at that point, we are compromising those other things that do matter more. And I can say more about that, but why don't I pause for a second and see what you're thinking about right now.
Well, I'm thinking a little bit about this. You know, I've been through every strata of society. So I grew up with two dresses a year poor, and then I went to lower middle class, to middle class. I married into nouveau riche. I was dating old money, and I was even part of the jet set. So I've had a great life. And I have never, ever equated or put money as the first part of it. I always lived on my own income. I always did what I needed to do. You know, I married a man that, you know, and I helped him get his business, and we had, you know, houses and cars and this and that. Went to dinner with the Heisman Trophy guy, and John the Wiener Schnitzel owner came over, and the, you know, he was a commodities broker in New York, so we dealt with a lot of people like that. But what I did find is this. I did find that no matter where you are, everybody still has the same basic needs. Whether you're the number one guy of a president of the United States or the guy that's sweeping the floor in the White House, we all have the same basic needs. And everything, you know, the money doesn't really equate because you live on your income. So if you're a, you know, big money guy, you know, you're going to spend as much as you get. So you're going to still have the same emotional issues, if not worse, than the guy that's sweeping the floor. Because what happens is when you elevate and you get there, and I have a lot of friends that are celebrities, you have to be very careful because somebody is trying, you've got all these things where people are trying to get you, you and do this and do that. And so all of this illusion that money will buy you happiness is an illusion, because everybody has things to learn. Everybody is on the same level. So if you understand that and understand that money is just a vehicle, not the goal, but just a vehicle to help you and not the goal, you'll be a lot happier, because the people that get the money don't have a lot of times relationships that they can count on, and it's very, very lonely at the top. So I can tell you that a lot of these people you may think is happy, but there's not. I do think, though, Jeff, that we are coming to a place here. We are, number one, we don't have the monies anymore that we used to have, and that people are starting to now go back to basics and not really going towards the stuff, because everybody's had enough stuff. You know, there's only so much you can do. And so I feel that there's going to be a revolution against this. And things like your book help people to understand that, too. And so when we do that, we have to understand it's not the me personality, which is what the money mindset is. It's all about me. It's about me, what I want. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And the thing is it's not about the me, it's about the we. What can I do to help you? What can I do to help the world? Because that's what gives us the feeling of peace in our soul. That's what gives us fullness. It's not just all about me. That's what I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to highlight, I mentioned that one of the other sort of challenges that a lot of us face has to do with our relationship with ourselves. And I think what you were just saying really ties in with that well. So I'm going to just jump to, there are two different categories of factors that really nourish our well-being. And some of those have to do with the world around us. And we were just talking about money, for example, relationships. Our physical health, I consider those one of those external factors. How much sleep we're getting. Those are all very important. But at the end of the day, really the most important factors are the ones inside us. And of those, I mean, those have to do with presence and wonder, gratitude. You just mentioned purpose, for example. And that the one that stands out the most really is our relationship with ourselves. Now, I set as a goal for myself and for other people self-love, because for me, love is the fullest, richest form of what I could offer to someone else. And so how could I deny that to myself as at least the highest, best goal I could have for myself as well? Other people, other psychologists and researchers will refer to self-compassion or self-acceptance. I'm going to stick with self-love. But if that doesn't, you know, ring true for someone, those other ones are a little more gentle or easier entry. The research is clear that the more that we are compassionate with ourselves, even loving, there are only positive outcomes. And a lot of the really negative talk within ourselves that a lot of us live with, and a lot of the deeply internalized negative messages we've gotten, whether it's like from parents when we were kids or from other kids or just from our culture in general, like the media, what are we supposed to look like, act like, be like, live like, all of that, it gets into us on a deep level. And the research shows that there are no positive outcomes associated with what's often in the research called shame. I mean, Brené Brown is one of the foremost thinkers on this, and she's documented no positive outcomes. I mention that because I don't want us to confuse a healthy, positive sense of self and relationship with ourselves with either narcissism or egotism or any of those kinds of things. When we have deeply internalized negative ideas about ourselves, and then we take the time to heal those, there are only good things that come from those. And perhaps each of us can think of someone that we know personally or someone that we know about. The more sort of self-actualized people are in this way, the more that they're just comfortable with themselves. And I don't mean blind to flaws. Again, I'm not talking narcissism or egotism. But the more that they just live in an expression of love, the more that they actually are open to hearing about and able to move on the places that maybe aren't as great in their lives, like maybe they have certain habits about the way they treat other people or things like that, we're more able to hear that and adapt. So once again, so much more I could say about that, but I did at least just want to start with that distinction between what it means to focus on me in a money way or a work way or a taking up space way versus what it means to just nourish the beauty and love and this wellspring and, yes, sacredness of ourselves and our lives.
Right, and there is a really big difference between just loving yourself and supporting yourself rather than pushing yourself on somebody else. We've got to take a break, but we're going to be right back with Jeff Golden and his new book, Reclaiming the Sacred, which you can get at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or order it from any bookstore. We're going to be right back. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the best sellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMckenzie.net. At LindaMckenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions. Plus, you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMckenzie.net. Visit LindaMckenzie.net. That's Linda, MackenzieNet.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on events for more details.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to The Linda McKenzie Show, and we have with us Jeff Golden. He's author of Reclaiming the Sacred, and we're discussing all these wonderful things to help make you happy and joyful in life, and also be part of the solution so that we can help the world together. Because, you know, one thing I can tell you is that if you're happy and you're positive, you are contributing to the consciousness in a very good way that helps not only to sustain you, but sustain everybody else. So when Jeff says, yeah, self-love, that's good. And when you give that love out even more to other people and other things, it's even better. And when we are all encompassed, that lifts us all up. Whether you know it or not, that energy is helping the planet. So you need to get this book, Reclaiming the Sacred, because it's the reclaiming the sacred in yourself and in the world around us. Did I get that right, Jeff?
You've got it right. I love what you were just saying. You know, while we took that break, your talk about positivity, it inspired in me. If you're open to it, I have just a one-page excerpt I'd love to just read from the book that's very relevant to what we were talking about.
Okay. Normally I don't do that because this is radio and we go back and forth, but you know, if it's a short passage, that'd be fine.
It's brief, but you know what? Instead, I'll just leave it as a teaser for people then.
That's even better.
Yeah, the chapter 11 is called Living in Mystery, Magic, and Miracle, and it just talks about the foundational perspective of looking at this world through the eyes of what a miracle it is. And that excerpt doesn't say this, but I'll just for myself note that along the lines of what you were saying, you know, that expression about the glass is either half full or half empty, you know, objectively we could argue either way, but the bottom line question is, how do you want to feel in your life and in the world? Which one do you want to be shaping how you interact with other people? And of course, the answer is almost always going to be the glass being half full, one that is about gratitude and awe and wonder. And at the end of the day, and this is where that excerpt comes in again for anyone who wants to check it out, is to just acknowledge that in every moment, it's not that the glass is half full. For most of us, the glass is 98% full all of the time, even if there are things that we don't have or hard things that we're going through. The beauty and miracle of us in this world are constant. And yet it gets lost sometimes, our perspective, right? I mean, the very fact that we're here talking right now, language, the communication of ideas through these sounds, our breath, our heartbeats, this very day, the sunshine that I can see coming through the window, the colors, movement, these are the things that any time we start to feel like, gosh, I want this other thing so much, or I don't want to have to give this up, maybe you don't have to, and maybe it's fine to pursue that. But given everything we've just been saying about what really nourishes well-being, and it generally not being about the money and the stuff, it's an opportunity for us to just pause and say, okay, what do I have? What are the wondrous, manifold things that I have and am experiencing already that maybe I'm not paying attention to, and maybe I could just settle into those for a minute? And maybe that just becomes part of the habit of how we start to look more at the light, the world in our lives as 98% full all the time. Even while, of course, there are going to be some hard times, and we shouldn't knock ourselves when that gets us down. But nonetheless, to lean in that way, you know what I mean?
Right. And I can tell you that when I get up in the morning, I find five things I'm grateful for before I even get out of bed. And then, but one of the things that we were talking about, and I think it's very important to for you to discuss with this, is about what they... There's a lie of scarcity about, and I think a lot of people buy into that, and we have to understand that that's not true. So can you talk a little bit about that psychology of money and what the lie of scarcity is about?
Yeah. Well, two things come to mind. The first is that, as I mentioned before, the amount of money it takes in order for us to be happy is generally quite low, much lower than most people think of. It's really about just meeting our basic needs. And beyond that, the sense of not having enough is consistent. The research shows that no matter how much money someone has, if you ask them, how much do you need to feel happy and secure, the answer is almost always like 50 to 100%, even 200% more than they have. And I'm including millionaires and billionaires,
right,
as well as people who are living in poverty, right? So there's something about that treadmill and that sense of scarcity that when we can start to step off of that and step back from that, it creates a lot of space for other things, the things that really do matter. And I got so excited about that point, I don't even remember what my second one was. but that basic trap in our society that we do live in, arguably the most materialistic society of all time. There are others, arguably, that are a match for us today, but we're talking 300,000 years of human history. Our ancestors couldn't have imagined the material wealth of what we have today. So here you are, you're in your one wild and precious life, right? And what do you want that life to be like? At some point, despite all of the overwhelming messages and maybe the ways that the people around you tend to be living and orienting themselves, you get to sort of huddle up with yourself in the corner and ask yourself, what do I really care about? What do I really want from this life? And holding some of these statistics, some of these facts in mind about the ways that we can become disoriented and focus too much on money and stuff can maybe be a helpful reminder when we're making some of those decisions. Again, just daily decisions about things we want to buy, larger decisions about where we want to live, or those really deep, soulful moments at night looking at the stars or having something just really hard that's happened in our lives that shakes us up, and we can just pause and sit down and maybe make some of those either small or huge changes, but again, always leaning in that direction.
Well, one of the things that I found happened is, you know, that there's always enough. For example, you know, people will, I'm about to, don't ask me how, but at 75, they asked me to do some TV shows. So I'm sitting there going, okay, not that I'm not a little vain. You couldn't ask when I was 37. You could, you know, but what happens is that no matter what happens to you, one of the things that you want to understand is that, you know, when you start thinking that you don't have enough and whatever, and then people will say, well, aren't you afraid that nobody's going to come in the audience? And I'm sitting there going, no, because what happens is whoever is supposed to come is going to come. And so when you take the restraints about I don't have enough, and then you turn it around to I have enough, what happens is it ends up the magnetic pull of that actually helps to sustain you rather than depress you and actually gives you the things that you need. You don't worry about the silly stuff. You don't worry. You know, worry is a needless emotion. Anyway, we've got to go to break, but we're going to get right back here with Jeff Golden and Reclaiming the Sacred, so stay with us. Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on events for more details.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practiced enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit lindamckenzie.net for more information. And call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. I'm with Jeff Golden. He's author of Reclaiming the Sacred. The book has so much in it that will help you, that it's really such a sweet book. I mean, it's got so much good energy and good things in it that there's something for everyone in this book. So if you, even if you have one for yourself, you might want to, you know, buy one for someone who may be feeling a little down, because this book is very uplifting and it will give you a step-by-step guide on how to, and yet it's not just it's all-encompassing, so it doesn't mean that your step-to-step guide is like the guy down the street's step-to-step guide, but this gives you the tools so that you have your own step-to-step guide, for especially for you, and that's what I feel about this book. It's very complete, Jeff.
I appreciate that so much. That was over 10 years in the researching and writing this book, so I think it's helpful for people to understand as well that I'm absolutely present there. I share my own thoughts and experiences, but it's also, you've got about 1,000 or 1,500 other companions all tucked into that book, sharing their own research and thinking as well. It was, like I said, over 10 years a labor of love of weaving all of that together.
Great. Now, you did have something that you wanted to add about the scarcity and the money thing.
Yeah, right. Of course, the instant I stopped talking, I remembered what the second point was. I think it's just helpful for people to have in mind that, you know, the third section in this book, what it looks at in five brief chapters are, well, what are the ways that money hooks us if it's not actually serving us, if it's not contributing any more than that tiny percentage to our well-being? And there are five different ways. One of the commonalities that runs through them, though, is that fairly consistently, money is more and more important to us the more that we are lacking in the things that really do matter. In other words, if we are feeling, say, fearful or insecure about ourselves, we're feeling scared about the world, we're not feeling happy or purposeful, then we often turn to money as a bit of a crutch. It's like a distraction or a way of trying to make ourselves feel better. The more that we nourish these other aspects of our lives, the less that money has a place to hook into us. And so there are things around, like, culture. There are some things that are hardwired us in terms of wanting to stand out, or, you know, in terms of our peer groups or our neighbors, things like that. And yet, those things start to dissipate and disappear as we tend to these other places around, well, what is our relationship like with ourselves? How do we feel about that? You know, how much time are we spending with people that we care about, friends or family? How much time do we have to simply be? So just one little nugget for people to take away from this that I think might be helpful is, again, just to know that it can be hard to resist the money and the path that this society pushes us down. But if we just take a little bit of time and work into our lives, these places where we're caring for ourselves and carving out a little bit more space and time for ourselves, those do degree by degree shift things, which opens so many more possibilities down the line too.
Right. And the other thing too is, if you're living in the moment and being very mindful of the moment, you have everything that you need in that moment. So whenever you're getting a little bit out of focus or you're going down that tunnel, like I need, I want, I gotta have, you know, just go back and center yourself in your body and say, okay, this is the moment. And you are really perfect in that moment. And if we go through moment by moment and then react only when the synchronicity comes in, when you're meant to do something, synchronicity comes in and everything is ABC, it all lines up. And so when we jump into that synchronicity of the moment, then you can actually live a full life without really, without really putting a lot of effort towards it. It's like you're living naturally. For example, now that I'm older and things, you know, I was an engineer for 18 years, so I'm very methodical and pre-planning and all that. But, you know, now I get up in the morning and I say, I know everything is going to be perfect in every day. And even if it's not, it's going to lead me to something that I'm going to learn. And so I don't even have a plan. I don't have a plan of what I'm supposed to do. And I understand that when the time is right for me to do it, I'm so attuned to that, that I react in that moment, I'm living in that moment, and everything is going the way it does. And if something happens that's not meant for me, or it's something that I may have desired or wanted and it doesn't work, I say, okay, it's not the time for this yet, or maybe it's not for me. And I don't put any expectation or attitude or thing. I just acknowledge that and then move through it. And I think if we learn about that and how to, when we're really feeling depressed or whatever, yeah, and just going back into that moment, into our saying, okay, here I am. Do I have enough food? Do I have this? Or do, you know, just going through the whole thing of just even feeling what's around you. And, yeah, and if you don't feel like there's enough love, I mean, one of the things that I found is that people equate love to a relationship, you know, or a man or a woman, you know, dog, whatever, you know, there's loving. But God's love is a little bit different. Everybody's looking for really God or source's love. And that's the completeness. A person, a dog, is not going to, they're just the same as you. They are looking and struggling, and you can get moments of feeling that bliss. But if you align yourself and allow the God's love to come in, then you're in an ecstasy that you can get into at any time, at any moment, okay? So you can just say, hey, God, I do this all the time. I'll say, oh, you know what? I'm starting to get a little down. What, can you flood me a little bit here, you know? And the other thing that I brought up with your talk was, you know, what I say to people, if you're so self-negrating to yourself and you're putting yourself down, I say, you know, God loves you. And if God loves you, then why don't you love you? Are you greater than God? Because that's, you know, we're all there. So if God can love you, you can love you too. Anyway, I think we're going to have to keep you on for another segment for at least a little bit of time.
I would love that. Depending on what your needs and hopes are for this day, for this time, I'm available.
All right, great. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off, using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
You can't imagine the whole crazy world, but right now, you can get some great help to manage your own. If you're searching out a new perspective on what matters to you most, with solid information, strong opinion, and lifelong practiced, enhanced insight, Linda McKenzie is the professional God-based psychic you want in your team. Join the list of thousands who have already benefited from Linda's psychic counsel over the years for both short and long-term guidance in personal and professional concerns. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net for more information and call 800-555-5453 to schedule. And tune in to the Linda McKenzie Show each week on HealthyLife.net.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Linda is trying to change the world to a more positive place. If you want to learn more about Linda McKenzie and the wonderful work she is doing, visit LindaMcKenzie.net. At LindaMcKenzie.net, you'll find a lot of information on balancing your mind, body, and spirit. There are free psychic predictions, plus you can find out Linda's appearance schedule and see what radio and TV shows she will be on. Learn what classes she's teaching or how to get a psychic reading, book a hypnotherapy session, and even get access to her products all through her website. LindaMcKenzie.net. Visit LindaMcKenzie.net. That's Linda, MacKenzie.net.
Hey there. Welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show. We have with us Jeff Golden, Reclaiming the Sacred. We're out of time with talking with Jeff because I know some of you call in for questions and readings and things. So I did want to just find out where people can find out more about you and your book so we make sure that people know where to get it and find out more about you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Again, my name is Jeff Golden. The book is Reclaiming the Sacred, Healing Our Relationships with Ourselves and the World. Available at all bookstores and hopefully libraries. If your library doesn't have it, you should request it because that's a wonderful way to get it. And if you just Google me, Jeff Golden, Reclaiming the Sacred, I'll pop right up. In addition to the book, I do offer an online course that is by donation. People can gift whatever is works for them financially. And it's a 6-week course of walking people through this. So that's one opportunity. But again, as you mentioned, even if someone just like gets the book at the library or picks it up at the store and just reads a little bit here or there, drops into it, there's so much wisdom that I was able to draw on from so many other people over those 10 years. I think it's worth taking a moment to see what doors it can help open for you.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I want to say thank you really a lot for coming on and sharing your book with us.
You are so kind and inspiring. Thank you, Linda.
All right. All right, well, we're going to go on to our herb of the week. Herbs are natural medicine that need to be treated with knowledge and respect. Today, we're going to talk about fenugreek. Now, that's highly regarded by Hippocrates, and fenugreek is one of the oldest medicinal herbs. In ancient Egypt, it was used to ease childbirth and to increase milk flow, and today it's still taken by Egyptian women for menstrual pain, and it's taken as a hilba tea. It's a popular standby to ease stomach cramps for tourists afflicted by gastric upsets. Now, in China, fenugreek is also used for abdominal pain. And Western research has recently highlighted hypoglycemic properties to it. So, you know, it's really good with that. Traditionally used as an aphrodisiac, the seeds are warming for the kidneys and the reproductive organs. And it's used in China to treat male impotence. They can be taken for menstrual pain and menopausal problems. And for kidney weaknesses, and it's also the seeds are also a bitter digestive remedy and can be used in diabetes and externally for skin inflammations. Now, the aerial parts of the plant in the Middle East and the Balkans, the aerial parts are a folk remedy for abdominal cramps associated with both menstrual pain and diarrhea or gastroenteritis. They're also used to ease labor pains. Now, the one thing is there is some cautions. Fenugreek is a uterine stimulant, so kind of avoid that in pregnancy. And the aerial parts, though, can be used in labor. And insulin-dependent diabetics should seek professional advice before using fenugreek as a hypoglycemic to stop low blood sugar. So that's a little bit about that, and that's fenugreek. Let's get to our gemstone of the week. Gemstones have energies, and by carrying or wearing a stone, we may be able to amplify our own energy to help get what we desire. And today we're going to talk about carnelian. Carnelian is really a wonderful, wonderful stone. It's very good to stimulate analytical capabilities and precision. It helps you get very perceptive to situations. It helps you to awaken your talents. It's been used to produce inspiration and connectedness to spiritual worlds. It protects against envy, fear, rage, and helps to banish sorrow from the emotional structure. That's a really good thing, right? Little carnelian. It also assists for you to balance your emotional state and your inner condition of self. It also provides an energy very conducive to stabilizing the energy in your home, right? It's very strong but tender energy when you're using it in the mode of retreat. You know, the message of carnelian is that since one is love, there is nothing to do but to offer love. And each offering of love brings an exponential increase in the quantity of love returned. So the more, the little you give out, the more you get back. Pink carnelian is especially can encourage love between parents and children and between parents and parents. Carnelian also stimulates inquisitiveness, and it is also used to dispel apathy, indolence, and passivity. It also helps the carnelian. I like it because it is very favorable in cleansing negativity from other stones. So when you direct it, it provides for a clearing action while directing any negative energy which is within the area towards the light and transmutes it. It goes, go away. So carnelian is very powerful, and it can really assist one in drama and in pursuits related to theatrical presentations. Oh, I better take a carnelian with me when I do my TV show this coming Sunday, huh? It's also, it's really a great stone, and in healing, it can be used for the treatment of neuralgia, gallstones, kidney stones, pollen allergies, and colds. It's also been aided to stop the disorders of the spine, spleen, and pancreas. And it's been used as an elixir to help heal cuts and abrasions. Elixir means that you put carnelian in a water and you either energize it in the moon for more feminine, softer energy, or the sun for more higher male type energy, and then you take the stone out, and then you'll use that elixir to put it on the cuts and abrasions, and it kind of helps to heal them very fast. So there's a little thing, and not all stones, you know, you have to be really researching stones, because not all stones can be used. A lot of times elixirs are used where you bathe the stone in water for 24 hours and in the sun or the moon, but you drink it, and that's supposed to help you internally. But some stones are not good for you to do that, so we don't want you to do that. So make sure that you research before you drink any elixir from any stone, because you don't know, and you want to make sure that you do. Like with anything else, knowledge brings power, so help to research yourself. We are in a position right now where natural health and is being attacked. You know, you can't find almost any natural health information on the search engines. It's all been saying that it's misinformation. They're trying to move us to a different place, and we don't need to be going there. So, you know, go to your library and research your natural health on yourself, because, you know, drugs have a minimum of 54 side effects for each drug, 54 to 56 side effects for each drug. You take in 10 jugs, that's a lot of side effects, right? So try the natural method. It takes a little longer to work, 6 to 8 weeks, but it is much more gentler on your body. So that's what you want to do, okay? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Stop, and don't use those costly weight loss drugs that don't work and cause nasty side effects anyway. Choose a total, natural approach to weight loss using your mind to change your body. That's the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book, a unique program that helps you lose the weight and keep it off using the power of your mind to transform your body. Available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. Buy it now and lose the weight without diets or drugs. It's everything you need, so whether it's 5 pounds or 100, get the Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss Book today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and wherever fine books are sold.
Discovering your ancient wisdom symbols is like having a guidebook to tap into the invisible world around you. Whether we know it or not, we use symbols every day, even when we dream. My name is Linda McKenzie, and I'm the author of Symbols of You. This one-of-a-kind book helps you discover your symbols in 42 ancient wisdom topics, from acupressure to Western elements. It gives you insight into yourself, your family, friends, and more. All my life, whether it's been on HealthyLife.net radio, in documentaries, TV, or giving talks and classes, I've always pushed for knowledge of the positive aspects of life. And that's why I wrote this book. With the exercises and charts, you now have the tools to have fun exploring your symbols. This not only helps you in self-discovery, but you can increase your mindfulness, intuition, and even give you insight into life's challenges. This book lets you tap into thousands of timeless facts, so you can use it as a reference book over and over again throughout your lifetime. Symbols of You, a self-discovery reference guide by Linda McKenzie, is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and fine bookstores everywhere.
Every month, a select few get to attend Linda McKenzie's Hip Psy Chick Soiree, where you get a great talk on the energy of metaphysics, a timely meditation, a one-question psychic reading, and a handmade prepared gourmet meal, including gluten-free scrumptious desserts all made with love and organic ingredients. But seating is limited, so to get your seat at the next Hip Psy Chick Soiree table, visit lindamckenzie.net and click on Events for more details.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Linda McKenzie Show, or at least you were. It's almost time to go. So visit my website, lindamckenzie.net. There's a new section there called TV Show. So you can click on that and find out what's going on and where it's going and how it's doing and whatever. And I hope to see you there in one of the live audience filmings. Anyway, I want to say thank you for listening. If I've enjoyed this hour with you. So until next time, this is Linda McKenzie, wishing you a week of gratitude, freedom, and courage. Bye.